9, now to our Norfolk Books section. A novel shines new light on the dark ages. Rebecca Stoff uses her childhood to help her dig deep into some of our most mysterious history.
Dark Ages. Rebecca Stott learned to make Saxon-style swords, traced the waterlogged paths which once lay beneath city streets, and visited the Roman ruins of Norfolk to conjure up the people and places of 1,500 years ago. Magnificent blades emerge from forge fires, potent herbs are collected and consumed, and fragments of statues are hoarded by women living in the collapsing buildings of Roman London, as Rebecca of Thorpe Hamlet near Norwich carefully pieces together an ancient world almost lost to history. History and geography merge with myth and magic in her latest novel as two sisters navigate the dangerous tidal marshes and complicated rules of tribal life and death in Dark Ages Britain. For 5 years, Rebecca researched a period of history which once seemed so unknowable that it was called the Dark Ages. With virtually no written records of life after the Romans left Britain, historians were left with artifacts, folklore and conjecture. But Rebecca also had her own experience of living in a society bounded by religious fervour, fear, outsiders and complex rules. While the superstitions and rituals of people living in 500 AD Britain might seem to have little in common with life in a 20th century Christian sect, the febrile atmosphere Rebecca creates, with everything from health to harvest, subject to gods and spirits, owes a lot to her own childhood in the exclusive Brethren Church. I was raised in an extreme religious community, a coercively controlling one, a cult that controlled every aspect of our lives, she said. It meant she knew about living constantly aware of appeasing and entreating the supernatural. In her childhood, like her imagined Dark Ages, women were subservient. But in her novel, two exiled and bereaved sisters find their way to a group of women foraging through the abandoned Roman city on the site of present-day City of London. Struck by how little was known about the lives of women in what she calls the darkest corner of the Dark Ages, Rebecca, former professor of literature and creative writing at the University of East Anglia, read archaeological papers and books and researched the artefacts and landscapes of the period. Again, the keys were not far from home. She roamed Caister St. Edmund, near Norwich, Birr Castle, near Great Yarmouth, and the marshes around Clye. The result is Dark Earth, named for the centuries-deep layer of soil which archaeologists find above Roman remains. Rebecca populates her landscape of river, reeds and ruin with women who have fled into the decaying city and are storing up provisions, scavenged metal and stories against an uncertain future. Her previous novels include Ghost Walk, set in modern and 17th century Cambridge, The Coral Thief, mixing love, evolution and revolution in 19th century Paris, and In the Days of Rain, about her childhood with the exclusive Brethren, which won the Costa Biography Award. She is now working on a television project about Norfolk's warrior queen, Boudicca. Dark Earth by Rebecca Stott is published by Fourth Estate.
Everybody needs good neighbours, and Norfolk is full of them. Some of Norfolk's most remarkable people look after the vulnerable, set up arts, sports and theatre groups, keep communities together and add joy and hope to lives across the county.
Norfolk at its best. In a city, town or village near you, good people are helping their neighbours, caring for animals, giving their time and money, sharing skills, saving lives at sea, feeding the hungry, and helping people struggling with illness or disability. They have set up choirs to combat loneliness through singing, activity sessions to help bereaved children cope with grief, and drop-ins for people going through cancer treatment. In Norwich and King's Lynn, performing arts courses are changing children's lives. In Kettlestone, near Fakenham, people with mental health difficulties enjoy gardening together. In Aylsham, volunteers take isolated older people to appointments and on outings. In King's Lynn, armed forces veterans are helped to find accommodation. In Norwich, a cafe in the park and a catering business make money to spend on food for homeless and hungry. Kevin Keeble, of Bracken Ash near Wyndham, kept coming across remarkable Norfolk people dedicated to making life better for their neighbours, whether by spending time, sharing skills, or gathering people together. He worked in the energy industry for 30 years and became a trustee of the Norfolk charity Build, which gives disabled people social, leisure and learning opportunities. Keen to celebrate local charities and community groups, Kevin began compiling a book of inspirational information and pictures highlighting their work. Norfolk at its Best features 80 charities and community groups, with all proceeds going to the Norfolk Community Foundation, which provides funding and support to more than 2,000 charitable groups in the county. Each of the 80 organisations is featured in words and pictures. There are photos of children at drama workshops, women recovering from addiction enjoying a meal together with the Hebron Trust, friendships being forged across generations with Friend Indeed, the sun setting over a tranquil nature reserve cared for by Norfolk Wildlife Trust, and some of the 2.5 million meals donated and delivered by Norwich's Soul Foundation Church. The book is introduced by Sir Norman Lamb, who said, "This wonderful compendium of examples of charities across Norfolk highlights the rich diversity of people doing amazing things in their communities." Galston artist Rebecca Osborne created the book's front cover. During the pandemic, her cartoons gained a national following as she drew key workers, people clapping for carers, and even Captain Sir Tom Moore. She also sketched 22 local women for the EDP to mark International Women's Day. Kevin said, "This book has been created to shed some light on those silent givers, those who support and help to forge a better community in our beautiful county. I have been so moved by these people and lucky enough to participate in some of their wonderful fundraising events. I felt that they need more recognition for the unrelenting work that they do. If ever you need a boost, speak to someone who works supporting others. I guarantee you'll feel much better afterwards." Norfolk at its Best is available from local bookshops and norfolkfoundation.com.
The tragic story behind Norfolk's song which captivated classical composer. A King's Lynn fisherman inspired one of England's greatest classical composers, but the wild tune he adored accompanied a terrible story of torture and death at sea. The Captain's Apprentice. One of England's greatest composers was so inspired by the songs of King's Lynn fishermen that some of his best-known music is based on their tunes. Keen to preserve the folk songs passed from singer to singer without ever being written down, Ralph Vaughan Williams noted down the words and music that he heard in Lynn, publishing them in journals of folk songs and weaving their harmonies into his own music. Vaughan Williams had become fascinated with folk music in the early 20th century and worried the ancient songs might be lost. He began collecting words and tunes across the country. In 1905,
he arrived in King's Lynn. When he heard fisherman James Dougie Carter sing The Captain's Apprentice, Vaughan Williams thought it was the most beautiful tune he'd ever heard, despite its terrible story of a ship's captain torturing and killing his child apprentice. Musician, historian and writer Caroline Davison said, "The wild melody of The Captain's Apprentice, as sung by Carter, became the main theme in Vaughan Williams' Norfolk Rhapsody No. 1 and deeply influenced his later work. In old age, the composer claimed that the cadences of the tune finally opened the door to an entirely new world of melody, harmony and feeling." Caroline of Norwich fell in love with the tune first and was shocked when she discovered the words to the original folk song and its story of the murder of a child sailor. She was a conservation officer assessing the historic value of a row of Victorian terraced houses in King's Lynn when she was told that Vaughan Williams had collected folk songs in a nearby pub, the Tilden Smith. It was the start of a quest to discover how the Lynn Fisherman's Song had a profound impact on the rest of Vaughan Williams' career. His week-long stay in King's Lynn yielded around 70 folk songs. Not yet famous when he first heard The Captain's Apprentice, he went on to change the course of English classical music, nudging it away from Germanic influence and tying it into folk traditions. The first of his three Norfolk Rhapsodies opens with the tune of The Captain's Apprentice and features two more songs Vaughan Williams heard during his week in Lynn, The Bold Young Sailor and On Board a 98, a typical sailing ship. Lynn folk tunes also feature in Vaughan Williams' A Sea Symphony. The composer called the slums of the north end of King's Lynn, where fishing families lived, the worst he had ever seen. Large families lived in just a couple of rooms. There was no running water, and waste from fish preparation and toilets or chamber pots ran into the street. Most were swept away in the 1930s, with just one remaining, now Trews Yard Fisherfolk Museum. Caroline researched the sad life and violent death of the child apprentice at the heart of the song, King's Lynn lad Robert Eastick, as well as tracing similar stories of sadistic ship captains and terrorised children from around the country. She was a conservation officer with Norfolk County Council and then director of the Norfolk Archaeological Trust, and has previously written a novel and a children's book, The By Mistake Guide to Norfolk. She's also sung with Norwich bands and choirs, including the Norwich Women's Soul Choir and the Oogadoogoos. At the age of 80, Vaughan Williams returned to King's Lynn to give a talk about the songs that he'd collected in the town half a century before. And in 1956, his arrangement of Paddy Hadley's Fen and Flood in response to the devastating floods in 1953, which killed 100 people around the coast of Norfolk alone, was first performed in St Nicholas Chapel, King's Lynn. It was here that singing fisherman Dougie Carter wed in 1865, and the parents of the tragic apprentice he sang about were married in 1827. The Captain's Apprentice, Ralph Vaughan Williams, and the story of a folk song by Caroline Davison is published on the 25th of August by Chatto & Windus in the 150th anniversary of the composer's birth.
The Captain's throughout the nation hear a voice and a warning, take by me, take special care of your apprentice while you are on the raging sea, take special care apprentice while you are on the raging sea. The
loneliest, loveliest job in Norfolk. Meet AJ, the man who shared his Norfolk Nature Reserve home with hundreds of seals and thousands of birds.
Unique life of a ranger. For almost a decade, His life was centred on a spit of shingle, salt marsh, silt and sand, jutting out into the North Sea. But A.J. Tagala was rarely lonely in the warden's accommodation out on Blakeney Point. He was too busy watching over many hundreds of seals and seabirds. A.J. was just 14 when he first saw Blakeney Point. Like countless others, my family was on holiday in the county and had come to see the seals. The mist made it a mysterious and eerie experience. I felt like I had entered a secret haven, a sanctuary for seals and birds, he said. 5 years later, he was volunteer assistant warden and went on to become full-time ranger, living in a former lifeboat station, a boat ride across the harbour to the mainland at high tide, or a four-mile walk along the shingle spit. Blakeney Point has been a protected nature reserve for more than a century, looked after by the National Trust. And a series of wardens employed to protect its seal colonies and internationally important seabirds. Few people have had the privilege and responsibility of living on an isolated, internationally important nature reserve, said AJ. Whenever I hear the distinctive calls of terns, I am transported back to Far Point in summer. The excitement, the drama, the responsibility, the absolute joy. The National Trust's first coastal nature reserve has been a bird sanctuary for 121 years. From early April until mid-August, the wardens keep careful watch on its four types of terns, making sure seal-seeking visitors do not trample on the nests and crush the eggs. Other threats include foxes, rats, and herring gulls. And AJ has an innovative approach to keeping herring gull populations down by perfecting recipes featuring their eggs. His job ranged from routine tasks such as the daily monitoring of the wildlife and patrols to deter egg theft, to crises which got national and international attention, including the 2013 tidal surge and the terrible helicopter crash the following year, which killed four US servicemen. There were also mysteries, including what was happening to the baby seals, washed up dead with strange corkscrew lacerations. During his time there, he was filmed for television shows, including Country File, Spring Watch, Autumn Watch, Winter Watch, Homes by the Sea and Coast, and went on to become a wildlife television presenter. He also kept diaries and has written an account of life as a ranger, or warden, of the National Trust Nature Reserve. This is the story of what life as a ranger on one of Britain's prime nature sites is really like, from the excitement of monitoring the rapidly growing seal population to the challenges and struggles of protecting ground nesting birds from a plethora of threats, he said. This is my tribute to the beauty of Blakeney, to the wildlife and the people to whom it is home. The unique life of a ranger, Seasons of Change on Blakeney Point, includes photographs and drawings by AJ. When you fall in love with a place as special as the North Norfolk coast, it remains in your heart and mind forever, said AJ. I always feel immensely proud to be part of the history of Blakeney Point. The unique life of a ranger, Seasons of Change on Blakeney Point by A.J. Tagala is published by the History Press on the 4th of August.